www.com.
Today here on 1450 WHTC, we are brought to you in the fall by
Zealand Lumber and Supply, and it's good to be back this week. I'm actually traveling along with Brian Hansen and Tony Hoover today on the show, so buckle up and get ready for a good ride. You know, Tony, you were on the show last week in my absence.
That's right.
And Kim from Berghorse was on. Great show,
yeah.
I hear.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Kim Islander from BJW Berghorse joined me, and we talked about really everything, like, I mean, bathroom faucets, kitchen faucets. We really went through the nitty-gritty of, you know, how to make a bathroom look cool, and we talked about trends, and it was a lot of fun, and I actually learned a lot from it, so it was really cool.
And as we've said all along on the show, you know, our purpose is to provide solutions, mm-hmm. to share information, and last week I know that you guys did just that. You know, we're going to do that today as well. Our title today is called Keeping Your Windows and Exterior Doors Pain-Free. Yeah, it took me a long time to come up with that one. So, you know, ultimately what we're going to do is matriculate through the home, talk about windows and doors, and give you tips for preparing for winter. You know, so we're going to talk about a lot of frequently asked questions that come up in terms of maintenance, in terms of assessing the current condition of your windows and exterior doors. And Brian Hansen from our window and door group is joining us. Thanks again, Brian, for coming.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, so tips for getting ready for winter. Along the way, kind of mixed inside of this, you'll see a thread that talks about product development. So by that, we mean, you know, giving you an idea of how the industry has changed and what solutions the manufacturers have that will actually address some of the things that they're seeing out there in housing today.
Mm-hmm.
395-1450 is the number if you have questions or comments. 395-1450. You can also email your questions, as we've had listeners do in the past, to markv@zealandlumber.com. markv@zealandlumber.com. We'll look at that throughout the show. And don't forget, if you miss any or all of a show, you can go to the podcast at whtc.com and catch up on the latest and greatest in the housing industry. So let's jump into it. Brian, what are some frequently asked questions that you're getting in relation to today's topic?
Well, I know right now, with it being fall, and the same thing happens in the spring, we get lots of phone calls for people who have condensation on their glass, and they assume that there's something wrong with their window, which is not always the case. There are times when it actually is something with the window. So what we normally tell people is, if it is water that can be wiped off, so whether you're on the inside of your house or the outside of your house, if you can take a towel and wipe it off, there's actually nothing wrong with your window. It actually is the difference between the temperature outside and the inside, dew point, humidity, stuff like that.
You know, I would almost equate it to, and I just had an epiphany. This is shocking to probably all of our listeners. But, you know, you got a glass of water, right?
Right.
Right.
And you develop that condensation out on the outside of that glass. And, again, it's due to the temperature on the inside versus the outside.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. That's actually what I was going to say. My iced coffee that I drank all day long, the cup condensates all day long. There's nothing actually wrong with the cup. It's just the different temperatures. Now, in that being said, if the condensation is actually in between the two panes of glass, if you have dual pane windows, where you cannot, again, wipe it off with just a towel or a rag, then the seal on the window has failed. And that window is no longer energy efficient, or not near as energy efficient as it could be. And at that point, you do need to either replace it or have someone come out and reseal it.
Okay, so when you replace it, let's kind of continue on with that conversation. When you replace it, how is that done?
Well, there's a couple different ways. If you know what your window company is, then most companies will provide new sashes or new glass for your window. not always under warranty. Sometimes under warranty, sometimes you will have to pay for it. But normally, if you can get it directly from the window company that your windows are, that's the best. If not, if they're like no marked windows or you bought a house and you're not sure, there are local glass companies around the area, all of West Michigan and stuff, that will come out and actually reseal and get you new glass and reseal those windows so that they're back to the efficiency they're supposed to be.
Okay, so in those instances, really, you, if you know the name of the manufacturer, calling the manufacturer's warranty service number is the best thing to do.
Yeah, most of those, especially if you know it's under warranty, most of the window companies will want you to call them first direct, and then they will give it to whoever their local dealer is or supplier. So,
for those of you who are just joining, you are listening to the At Home Show here on 1450 WHTC. Your host, Mark VandenBosch, with you, and along with me today are Tony Hoover and Brian Hansen. We're talking about kind of getting ready for winter, you know, getting ready for winter in relation to windows and exterior doors and some of the maintenance that kind of goes along with that. We're highlighting some frequently asked questions and then coming up with some ideas to kind of guide you along the right path for solutions. The next thing that I'm thinking about is drafty windows and doors.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was a kid, I was thinking about drafty windows, and what my mom used to do was take that cellophane and tape it to the window and then blow dry. I mean, is that still something?
Yeah, we rolled up towels and then put them right at the bottom of the
exactly. Brian's face just got beat red, and he's like, "Are you serious, guys?"
I don't know if the towel will help at all,
okay.
but the sealant on the outside, especially if you have older windows, again, I don't think it's definitely not going to cause any harm, and if you gain a little bit, then that's great. However, I would say the best thing to do if you have in a large amount of draft coming in or even snow at times I've heard of is to change and to look at the weather stripping that's actually on around the parts of the windows that open that operate. That can normally be replaced either again with the one directly from the window company, or there are universal products that can help with that. The other things are more just a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. You know, putting a towel under is not actually solving the problem.
Right. I mean, you're putting lipstick on a pig, but
hey,
you still have a pig.
Me.
So with that, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back talking windows and doors today on the At Home Show.
With the weather getting colder, it's time to ask Zeeland Lumber and Supply how you can...
WHTC.com.
Hope you're enjoying your Friday afternoon here on the At Home Show. Wow, we've had a great couple weeks worth of weather. It has been gorgeous, so hopefully we can take advantage of that before the weather does turn, as it will. That's one thing that will be for sure. And along those lines, we're talking about windows and exterior doors and some things that you need to consider as you go into the winter months. We had a call during the break from Steve. You know, he called in and said, you know, those drafty windows, I have single pane windows from a house that's built in the 1920s, and that challenge exists that, you know, really we talked about putting the plastic,
cellophane yep.
up. You know, the challenge is that financially to replace windows for a complete house, that just seems pretty daunting. Brian, what are some solutions that you've seen or given to homeowners that have that exact scenario?
Well, again, glass has changed, obviously, so much from definitely back in the single panes. Even when it was dual pane, it used to just be plain insulated glass. Now there's low-E, there's self-clean windows, there's all kinds of stuff, different types of glass that help with energy efficiency. However, again, sometimes fixing certain parts of a window, especially if they're the wood, either all wood or wood clad, really sometimes you're just putting a Band-Aid on the problem, unfortunately.
Right.
And I really like to try to understand what condition the people's windows are in altogether. If they call in and ask, you know, our glass is failing, well, instead of buying them a sash, I find out if the frame is still good. Because if it's a rotted frame, all I'm doing is putting a sash in there, charging you money, and then
right.
a couple years later, you're going to still need new windows. So you might as well wait a year, do the cellophanes or seal them up with some kind of weather stripping and just save up, unfortunately, for the replacement windows.
You know, have you seen consumers say, hey, you know, it's going to cost me $10,000, I'm just picking a number, to replace windows on my whole house? Is there issues with maybe doing it in three phases or two phases or four phases where you maybe you say, hey, I want to replace windows in my new kid's bedroom. You know, I've just had a new baby. I want to make sure that that room is fine. And then next year I'll move to other areas of the house. Is that something that you're seeing being done? And what's the pros and cons to doing that way?
We actually have quite a few homeowners that'll do that. You know, to break it up in, especially after tax season, it seems to happen a lot. You get, we want to do half our house this year, half the next year. My only suggestion is that you pick a window company that you've heard of before you started to look into windows. Because there have been, especially when the economy is not at its greatest, window companies do go by the wayside. And unfortunately, then you cannot match, and there are no two windows that are the exact same. We will try our best to match them, but they will not be the exact same. So I would suggest going with your major brands that you just know about, just as a general knowledge.
Right, and it seems to me if you're going to do a room, do that whole room with windows because of the outside chance that that window company or that, you know, maybe a window company is still around, but they don't make that series of window or that style of window. Then you reduce your exposure to having those challenges where you're mixing and matching.
You know, I actually, on that note, I would actually suggest that you do it per elevation based on the exterior. That way it doesn't look as though you screwed something up on your house when people drive by.
Right.
Most people can live with something a little different from the inside, but the outside's what they care about.
Absolutely. You know, let's talk about stress cracks and seal failure. Are those the same thing?
No, Mark. The seal failure is, which we talked about earlier, is where when they put dual pane glass together, they actually lay the two pieces on top of each other, but in between there is most companies use like a tar to hold it around to where there's actual air space in between there. If that tar or weather stripping or glazing beads, all these terminologies, if any of that has failed, then air and water will get up in between those two pieces of glass to where a stress crack is basically like you'll see on a windshield is a perfect example. You get a little rock, while that rock all of a sudden causes it to splinter all over the place. It's the same thing with windows, and it's really from just compression of the house pushing, unfortunately, in one area on the glass wrong, or just a faulty piece of glass.
395-1450. It's 395-1450 if you have questions or comments on today's show. You know, we're having a good time talking about windows and exterior doors and kind of assessing different scenarios that pop up, different symptoms, and what do you do in those cases. I want to go back to a comment that you made, Brian, just a few minutes ago in relation to rotted jams. All right, you were talking about it in terms of windows. It got me thinking about doors, and I just think that's a challenge that a lot of people out there, a lot of listeners maybe even have it or have friends or family that have exterior doors that have rotted jams. What do you do in that scenario, and what are the things that maybe the industry has developed that will help address that both now and in the future?
Yeah, if you look at the bottom of your door, one that's probably facing west or southwest, or just out in the weather where maybe you don't clear the snow away from it or rain hits it, you'll probably notice that the bottom of it is deteriorating a lot worse than the up part, the higher part of the door, the actual slab that opens. And unfortunately, most of that material, when you buy your doors just standard, is just a regular prime jam that you really need to maintain I would say almost yearly.
All right, so let's pause on that. You said it's just a prime jam. Is that jam comprised of just wood? Is that what it most likely is?
More than likely it'll be just a pine finish, especially if you're in an older house. I mean, it most definitely is. But these days they have done, so if I was to go in and buy a door now, I would, at the very least, they make a rot-proof jam. And at the very bottom, what they've done is they've went and gotten some wood that is, most companies use it from Alaska, and it's just some type of wood that is absorbent, and it actually deflects most of the water away and just can handle the pressure. That's at the very least. Secondly, the big push on it that people like to do now is they actually have vinyl-wrapped or deluxe aluminum cladding-wrapped jams, which then that way... they're protected from the weather. You don't have any of that wood material protected.
All right, so that wood from Alaska is a rot-resistant wood?
Yeah, the couple companies I know have used it. They call it an Alaskan cypress. But it really is rot-proof. There's lifetime warranty on that jam and stuff. Again, as long as you finish it, you still have to paint it, but not near as often.
And then you have aluminum wrap as well. All right, we're going to wrap up this segment. We're going to move to the next one. We're going to talk more about this and steel versus fiberglass doors. It's something that's a hot topic in today's marketplace. Stay with us.
And at WHTC.com.
Welcome back to the At Home Show, our final segment today on this beautiful Friday afternoon. We're talking windows and exterior doors, and really specifically tips for getting ready for winter. We're offering some solutions, and we're giving you answers to questions that really pop up in today's housing sector. So before the break, we were talking about exterior doors and this whole symptom of rotting jams. Tony, earlier today you were talking about your steel doors.
Yeah. I mean, we've always had steel doors in our family, but like I've noticed that it doesn't take very long before it starts to look scratched and dented. And I mean, even sometimes I've seen rust, you know, form on the exterior of the door. Like, is there another way? Can I repair that? Like, what are my options when I start seeing wear and tear on a steel door?
Well, these days, fiberglass has been around a long time on fiberglass doors. However, it used to be so much more pricey than steel doors that it just really wasn't worth it. However, fiberglass has come down and steel has actually went up, and the benefits really are, quite frankly, I wouldn't buy a steel door again if it was up to me.
Well, you know, that's a great question. Is today's consumer afforded the opportunity to buy a steel door? And really, what is the mix? I mean, if you mm-hmm. talked about 100 doors being sold, maybe 10 years ago, steel was 60-75% of the market. What is it today? I mean, is it 5%, 10%, or is it more than that? What would you guess?
Steel, I think, is still probably 50-50 now, if I had to guess. Now, where you gain on that is people on front doors.
Okay.
On the door that everyone looks at, I would say it's 80-20 fiberglass.
Okay, so you're seeing steel doors being used in service door, let's say post-frame buildings are being built, they're using a steel door in those applications.
Yeah, and, you know, for the most part, your door from your garage to your house, due to codes and stuff, has to be a fire-rated door, which the easiest way to get that rating is with a steel door. There are fiberglass ones, but there's a lot of other limitations with that.
Okay, you know, that's an excellent point. You know, let's continue talking about the steel versus fiberglass. I mean, in my mind, it's just really letting our listeners know what to be aware of when you purchase a steel door. It is more susceptible to what Tony was talking mm-hmm. about earlier.
Well, most of the steel doors, like Tony said, will rust. Fiberglass will not rust. fiberglass will also not dent when your six-year-old son decides he's going to throw a frisbee at it or play baseball up against it or any of that kind of stuff.
That sounds oddly specific, Brian.
Yes, it is. Yeah, right. Actually, that was my 10-year-old, but that's okay. Hi, Toby. Anyways.
Yeah, nice.
But really, the other thing is most of the manufacturers these days, the steel doors, due to the rust and due to where we are in this market in Michigan and stuff, only have 2 to 5 year warranties on them.
Oh, really?
Yes. And most fiberglass doors have a lifetime, and yes, it's somewhat limited. It still is based on how you upkeep it and stuff of that nature, but it is a lifetime warranty. And like I said, you're probably only paying about 10% more now, but you're going to get twice the life out of it. So you really have to look at it long term, what you're planning on doing. You know, if you're planning on just getting the door that you'll never use that's not in the weather, then you're fine with steel. But otherwise, I would suggest using fiberglass.
All right. Now, since we're talking about doors, mm-hmm. the other type of door that you see on an exterior of a home are wooden doors. And if my memory serves me correctly, back in the mid-2000s, wood doors were in vogue. They were hot. It feels like that kind of has waned a little bit, Brian. And we have to be sensitive maybe to the environment in which it's put in. But talk a little bit about wooden doors and what the pros and cons are with using it.
Well, wooden doors are going to look the most traditional. They do have the best design, really. However, you have to make sure you have the right setting for it. First of all, Michigan already makes it a little more difficult. Second of all, whichever way the wind is coming off of, especially if you live here in Holland off the lake. And then even more importantly, the best thing you can do is make sure that you have a huge overhang. If this is sitting on the, you know, no overhang facing southwest, I would suggest not using a wood door under any circumstances. But if you do have the right environments for a wood door, the only other thing I would say to keep in mind when it comes to maintenance is, and this actually applies to wood-clad windows as well as wood windows, there are 6 sides to a door when you are finishing them. Please make sure that you finish all 6 sides, otherwise you will be disappointed in your door.
Right. Wooden doors are gorgeous. They are beautiful, beautiful doors, but the reality of it is the environment makes all the difference, and having an overhang is a must, as well as just considering the whether it's faces south, north, east, or west. If it's facing south, you just got to stay away from it. Brian, we haven't talked about sliders and French wood doors, and I think it just bears talking about in our brief time left. It just seems like screens that are sliding on sliders are a problem. What do our listeners have to think about in relation to that?
Well, again, most of the sliding doors, it's best if you know the company. However, if you don't, there are universal parts. Almost all the rollers on patio doors, screens, as well as the actual part that moves, can be replaced. Some easy enough by homeowners, others require service calls to an expert in this area. However, the best maintenance you can do is to keep that track clean. Shop back it out, sweep it out, blow it out, whatever the case is. Do not let tons of dirt and mud and snow and everything else build up in those tracks.
So keeping it clean is the number one thing.
Absolutely.
Now, our listeners, we've talked a lot about windows and exterior doors and service-related things. At Zeeland Lumber and Supply, we have a full-time staff that can help. Describe that briefly, Brian.
Yeah, we have actually three to four different service guys at all times who can you can set an appointment up with, and we can come and analyze any of your needs that you have out there, and just feel free to give us a call. And we will go from there.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, guys. And, yeah, use Zeeland Lumber and Supply as a resource if you have questions relating to this or anything else in terms of your home. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend.